In today's service, we're going to sing our way through the church year, through the arc of our faith. You may notice that the clergy before you this morning have different colored stoles on. Those are to represent the different seasons of the church year that we're going to move through this morning. 5 years ago, responding to concerns expressed by our musicians about the organ console, and yes, complaints from many of you in regard to the aesthetics and acoustics of our choir loft, we began a conversation about how to fix this space and this instrument. It quickly became clear, though, that this conversation was about more than aesthetics and acoustics, although these are both important. It was a conversation about this church's beloved tradition of congregational singing, and a conversation about the future of the arts in this place. It was a conversation about music, but it was also a broader conversation about faith, about our relationship to God. Every conversation that we have about this worship space is a conversation about how we can shape a place and a time that reminds us that we dwell every day in God's presence. And music plays an essential role in this shaping, in this reminding. In this place, Sunday after Sunday, music teaches, music comforts, music exhorts, music laments, music thrills. In this place, with the help of this organ and this choir, we sing our faith. We journey through the great arc of the Christian tradition every year in music. And today, we're going to travel that whole arc. Our first way station on this journey is Advent. Now, to some, Advent is a speed bump on the way to getting to something better. Every year, even before you have made soup out of your Thanksgiving turkey carcasses, clergy start to get the impatient question, where are the Christmas carols? They're playing carols at Macy's, why not at FAPC? We want to speed to Christmas, and yet our tradition slows us down. It reminds us that before the baby is born, before the angels sing, before God appears, we wait. We spend a great deal of our lives waiting, and Advent reminds us that waiting is sacred work, sacred time. When we wait, and when we pay attention to our waiting, we come to recognize and speak aloud our deep yearning, our sincere longing for God. Isaiah is the prophet of this season, and in the 64th chapter of his book, Isaiah speaks the cry of Advent. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. Our Advent hymn is number 88, and we're going to sing verse 1 of O Come, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
The doctrine that we celebrate at Christmas is called the Incarnation. It speaks of God's choice to move in with us, to live here on this earth with us, for us. Listen now to this reading from Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. When the angels sang, they told of Christ being born in Bethlehem. He had a particular address, and that's important. Why? Because God is not generic, and God does not love generically. The details of your life, your place in this world, where and how you live, are not only known by God, but they matter to God. Because Christ is born in Bethlehem, you can trust that your life matters to God. Our Christmas carol is number 119, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We're going to sing verses 1 and 3. Would you please stand as you are able? Be seated.
A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 2. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Throughout Advent, we consider our deep need and hopeful expectation of a Savior. And on Christmas, we meet the answer to our prayers in the form of a babe in a manger. But on Epiphany, we celebrate that this babe is not only the Savior that we've been waiting for, but God incarnate. We remember the fateful night in which the Magi traveled east to worship the Christ child, following that sacred star, God's holy light, to the bright dawning of a new day where God's grace is extended to all of humanity through God's only Son, Jesus Christ. Let us celebrate the Magi's miraculous discovery as we sing hymn 151, We Three Kings, verses 1 and 5. While a matter of weeks go by in our calendar, from Christmas to baptism of the Lord Sunday, we actually take a huge leap forward in sacred time. On this Sunday, we encounter our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as a young adult on the precipice of starting his ministry. And on this holy occasion, we celebrate that beautiful, that precious moment where God reveals Jesus as his precious Son, anointing him with the same Holy Spirit that surrounds us during our own baptisms. Hear now a reading from Matthew chapter 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Friends, let us now sing a hymn we all know quite well, as we sing it every time we baptize one of God's own in this sacred place. Verse 3 of hymn 482, Baptized in Water.
Thank you.
This is the point in our journey where we are called to transition from feasting to fasting, celebration to self-denial, rejoicing to repentance, as we travel from baptism of the Lord Sunday to Ash Wednesday. The church shifts her attention and her energy to contemplating why we need a Savior in the first place. In an effort to assume this spirit of humility, let us travel to the desert where Jesus himself was tempted as we sing hymn 166, verses 1 and 3. So we find ourselves on Ash Wednesday, steeped in the awareness of our own mortality. And on this holy day, we gather together as a community of believers, and we place ashes on our foreheads with the humble realization that we came from dust, and to dust we will return. Yet there is hope. Hear now a reading from John 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him.
A reading from Matthew 21, verses 1 and 2 and 6 through 9. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mountain of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey, the colt, and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Please sing with me, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor," verses 1 and 2.
Amen.
On Palm Sunday, we remember Christ the King, but one that came in humbleness. Instead of coming in on a horse and other signs of powers, as others who proclaimed to be saviors would, Jesus of Nazareth ushered into Jerusalem on a humble donkey. Yet as humble and as weak as the donkey seemed, Jesus fulfilled the prophecy from Zechariah 9:9, which says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteousness and victoriously, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the people shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." Yet not everybody was excited as the people were. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law found a way to have Jesus arrested. Pontius Pilate had him flogged and beaten. Tired and weary, he carried his cross. He carried his own execution. Jesus was crucified between two others who were sentenced to death. And on that day, on Good Friday, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, died. Therefore, on Good Friday, we mourn the death of Christ. Join us as we sing hymn 228, "Were You There?" verses 1 and 5. A word from John 19, verses 14 through 18. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him. And with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Friends, the good news is that the story does not end there. On the third day, Jesus, Christ the King, conquered death and rose from the dead. He is alive. And he is alive, and because of God's great love, we now find redemption from our brokenness. Friends, rejoice. Stand and sing with me, "Jesus Christ is risen today," verses 1 and 4. You may be seated. Hear Matthew's account of the resurrection. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you."
After Easter, a period of rejoicing lasts for 50 days, concluding with the celebration of the gift of the Holy Spirit descending on the disciples. In Acts, Luke recounts, "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability." This holy, mystical, communal experience marks the birthday of the church. Immediately, the disciples began witnessing to the power of the risen Christ, which sent them out to share the good news of God's love for all creation, breaking bread together, loving enemies, and serving neighbors near and far. The gift of the Spirit empowers the church to declare that all things are possible through God and opens the eyes of the community of faith to proclaim in word and deed God's reconciling plan for all humanity. Please join together in singing hymn number 282, "O come down, O love divine," verse 1. Trinity, Trinity Sunday. On Trinity Sunday, we celebrate a doctrine rather than an event, our uniquely Christian, biblically based understanding of a relational God who lives and works in three different ways at the same time, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our understanding of the Trinity tells us about God's identity, God's nature, God's love for creation and humanity, God's expectations, commandments, and promises. As Matthew reports in his gospel, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Let us join in singing hymn number 1, verse 1 of "Holy, Holy, Holy."
Thank you.
On All Saints' Day, we remember that we belong to a continuing, living communion of saints, and we rejoice that with all those who throughout the ages have faithfully served God. What does this communion of saints look like? In Revelation chapter 7, John the Revelator proclaims, "After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" Remembering this great cloud of witnesses, those who persevered during times of trial and kept their faith, we find ourselves lifted from our own present discouragement and draw strength from the knowledge that God is present yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Please join together in singing hymn 326, verses 1 and 5 for All the Saints. The festival of Christ the King concludes the season of ordinary time that began with Pentecost. On this day, we celebrate that Christ died and rose and will come again and will ultimately triumph over evil. In Revelation chapter 1, John the Revelator shares this vision. "Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen." Please stand as you are able and join in singing hymn 268, verses 1 and 4.
Thank you.
With these baptismal waters, we dedicate this choir loft. Don't slip on that. And this organ, don't faint, property committee members. To God's glory and to the uplifting of our faith through music and song, would you please join me in the litany of dedication that can be found in your bulletin? God of grace and God of glory, our help in ages past and our hope for years to come, with gratitude and hope, we dedicate this organ in the maintenance of divine worship. As your children in every generation have lifted songs of praise to you, we too sing our praise, and at times sing our way to faith. May the color of each rank and the voice of each stop in this instrument
bear witness to your majesty,
as one family of faith, we will sing of you.
For the salvation of humankind.
For the love of all your children.
As a protest to evil and injustice.
As a testimony to the hope we hold in God's promised day. Here we have done our best to create a space of beauty and reverence.
But your presence alone.
If you will meet us here, our lives will be filled with grace.
And we pray that the worship in this sanctuary will
please you for generations to come. In the name of Christ, your Son, and our Lord, we pray. Amen. Gotta love Beethoven. Many don't know, though, that the words to this extremely famous hymn were written by a Presbyterian. Mortals, join the happy chorus which the morning stars began. Love divine is reigning o'er us, joining all in heaven's plan. Go from this place, trusting in the love of God, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and clinging to each other in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.